Y'all didn't notice. My wife carries me up here. You know that? I'm grateful to have her in my life. Grateful is an understatement, I would think. You know, this morning as we get started, we're going to be in Romans chapter 5. And last week, we started a series on what it looks like to be in the middle of a storm. We looked at James. In the book of James, he was writing to persecuted believers, telling them to rearrange their thought process. If you remember correctly, he said for them to make joy the leading thought in their thinking when they face trials of many kinds. And remember that the joy is being aware of God's grace and being aware of God's favor, and has absolutely nothing to do with our feelings. And we also found out that these storms and these trials, they do have a function. We don't just get to go through them just to go through them. Now think about taking a four-wheeler through the mud. You don't really just do that to do it. You do it to have a good time, right? Maybe you're having to get somewhere. Vonda said she's got to go somewhere, so I don't know. But these trials, these storms, they are part of a spiritual equation where we are introduced to a trial in order that we might produce something. And in the case in James, we were producing perseverance and endurance. As you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 this morning, let me remind you about Romans chapter 1 through 4. All this is leading up to Romans 5. Paul spends essentially four chapters talking about faith. Faith is never the work of our own doing. Let me repeat that. Faith is never the work of our own doing. Faith is a gift from God. It is given to us by God in the measure and the fullness that we need for the occasion. And so in the book of Romans, Paul, in the first four chapters, is talking about this faith. Has it been given to the Jew? Has it been given to the Gentile? How does faith relate to the law? What we eventually come to find out is that Faith does something entirely different. It establishes the law. And our faith justifies us. What does that mean? It justifies us. It makes us right in the sight of a holy and righteous God. That is what our faith was, a function of our faith that is given to us by God. And so here we have Romans chapter 5. And if you are able and willing, would you please stand for the reading of God's word as we read, starting in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only, let me go to this version here. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your divine word. And Father, as we approach your divine word, we ask for divine help from the Holy Spirit. Father, as we draw closer to you and to who you want us to be, through the faith that we have been given, Father, would we see your word in a fresh new way? Father, would we encounter you this morning in such a way that it prompts us to action? Thank you for your people. Thank you for giving us this time this morning. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Romans chapter 5. Leading up from 1 through 4, that's just the logical progression of things, as we all like to read. And we get to verse 3. And it starts with a pretty critical conjunction. We make a big deal out of words in the Bible. That sounds really elementary, doesn't it? We make a big deal out of words in the Bible. We make a bigger deal out of specific words in the Bible. Conjunctions. Does anybody remember the conjunction junction? Just going to throw that out there. I'm not that old, people. All right. I know I'm getting gray and bald and all kinds of stuff, but I remember the conjunction junction. They made a big deal out of conjunctions. And we want to do the same thing sometimes in Scripture. We start in verse 3 with the word and. And so you think about this, this is a continuation of a thought. And. You can't just really do that without having a thought before it. What was the thought before it? Let's go back and read verse 1 and verse 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult and rejoice in hope. Oh, gosh, this is a hard Bible to read from. We exult in hope of the glory of God. And, there you go. And so you go back to get the previous thought to pick up your and you get stuck with chapter 5, verse 1. And the first word is what? Therefore. Oh, man. Now what? We have to go back. And that's why I want to give you a little bit of history about verse chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, because it's pretty much a continuation of a bigger thought. And so here we are in the middle of a huge section of Scripture in Romans that Paul is speaking to a group of people about what to believe. Now that seems like a really good question. What are we to believe? I want you to tell me if you believe this or not. In July 1950, there was a circus director, Franz Atthoff. Nice guy, I'm sure. And his 4-year-old Indian elephant, Tuffy. It's a good name for an elephant. They decided that they would take the monorail. The monorail. Do you know what a monorail is? Put an elephant on a monorail as a marketing gag. And Tuffy didn't think the gag was so funny. And so the 4-year-old elephant, trumpeting loudly and running back and forth on the cart, the elephant eventually broke through the door of the window and the door of the monorail, falling 39 feet, not 40, 39 feet into the river. And then she lived 40 years after that to tell the tale. Do you believe that or not? How many of you guys believe that? Good, one person in the room. Two. All right, good. That is, in fact, a true story, according to Ripley's Believe It or Not. They made a whole show and a whole museum about this kind of stuff. It's interesting. How about this one? Do you believe this to be true? A man spent 5 months in prison, unaware that his bail was set at $2. You saw that? Unaware that his bail was set for $2. That is, in fact, true. Sometimes it pays to ask good questions, doesn't it? Now, why would we do that this morning? Because we are in the middle of a section of Scripture about what to believe. And so, pick up in Romans chapter 5 again. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified. Remember, we are made right before a righteous and holy God by what? By faith. By faith that has been given to us. In verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Now, because we have peace through God, we have peace through Christ, we get to do one thing. According to verse 2, we get an introduction by faith into His grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And so we start stringing together these thoughts. If you look at them together with me, start at the end of verse 2. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. So you have this whole string of thoughts together by a whole bunch of conjunctions. What good is it for us, though? What are we to believe out of this passage of Scripture? There's a word here that we must define. Your Bible may have it. Your Bible translation may not have it. It is the word exult. I have not ever heard anybody in Jacksboro say that word at the store. Not yet, anyway. Somebody's going to see me at Lowe's and go, exult. Oh, good. Thank you. It'd be a good thing to do. Why? Because we have to define this word in order that we might understand the rest of the thoughts that are being put together. So what does it mean? Let's not confuse this with the word exalt, because it's similar. It's exult. It's hard to even say, isn't it? What does your Bible have as a translation for that word? Come on, somebody has a different word than that. Rejoice? Good. Any other? Confidently. Good. Any other translations? We got rejoice. We have confidently. Nobody else has another translation. All right, good. What does it mean? To glory, to rejoice, to boast. Those are all fine translations. But I don't even think that they do the word justice. Almost like Happy Mother's Day doesn't really do justice to what moms do. It does not even come close to what happens with mothers. And this word, glory, rejoice, boast, it does not even seem to catch just the surface of it. Remember last week as we defined the word joy, we were becoming aware of God's grace in our lives. And today, so we're going to define the word exult. Really, if you get a definition from the Greek, it says, to boast, I glory proudly. And you guys said, rejoice and confidently. Now, when was the last time you boasted about something? Boast. When was the last time? Brother Gale, I think about it, the chickens. When they have an egg. You ever been around a chicken that had an egg? It's phenomenal. You didn't know such chickens could sing. But they have made a gift for you, and they want you to know about it. They are boasting and glorying in their production of an egg. You should try it. Go get by a chicken one day when it's having an egg. You'll understand more about this word. When was the last time you boasted about something? Usually it happens whenever we boast about our children. Right? That's an easy one. My child did this. I'm so proud of them for that. Walk across the stage for graduation and people blow air horns and bring shakers and throw confetti and I don't know what they do in the stands. Lots of things go on. Boasting about their accomplishments. I boast about this. I'm so proud of them for that. It's only natural to be proud of something whenever it's good. How about this? What about boasting in our stuff? Oh, we like to boast with our stuff. I got a new fill in the blank. I got a new car. I got a new boat. I got a new something. I got a new house. And now I want to be proud of it. And that's fine. Be proud of your stuff, okay? Not so much. You can go overboard, yes. But I understand. You work hard for the things that you have. Most of us, myself included, have too much of it, but we work hard for what we have. It's okay to be proud, to have nice things, to live in a nice home, to drive a car that functions. Be proud of that. But this is not that. It might look different for each one of us as we boast. But I want to show you a picture, OK? Okay? I want to show you a picture of some boards up on the screen. How many boards do you see? I need some wisdom here. You got any wise people in the room? How many boards do you see? People are still trying to figure this out. Somebody said three, somebody said four. I don't know what to do with this picture. My brain just cannot comprehend it, so I need some wisdom. Sam, how many boards do you see?
I see four counting the hands of the board.
I see four, but I see three. I don't understand. Why is this such a hard thing?
Close one eye.
Close one eye. Does that help? I don't know. That's brilliant. Close one eye. When I can't see something straight, I'm going to close one eye and see what happens. Next time I get to scripture that I can't understand, I'm going to close one eye and read it and see what happens. I think that'll work. I'm going to let you guys just soak on that for a while, but go ahead and put up the next picture and let me see what you can. What are we looking at? The skyline of a city close by us. This is Fort Worth. This is downtown Fort Worth, apparently. Okay? Now, that's downtown Fort Worth at night. And I want you to look at the next picture. You will not be able to see Fort Worth. But what are those? Those are cities at night. And you could easily say that we are looking at the same thing as we were just looking at in the previous picture. But because now we have a different perspective, we get to see more. And we get to understand more about what it looks like at night in space. But we are still looking at cities at night. So just like you're looking at those boards, and you're looking at this, and you look at it one way, and you're like, well, I see this, and then you look at it another way, I see that. And you look at these pictures of these cities, you say, well, I see Fort Worth, and then I see more cities at night. We're still looking at the same thing, but we're just looking at it from a different perspective. And it all matters about what perspective you look at Scripture. Do you remember the game Tetherball? Remember that? That game will make even the most athletic person look ridiculously silly. Have you ever thought about that? When that ball starts going around that pole and you cannot catch it, it's just like you're swatting flies. And you look silly and goofy, no matter how athletic you are. Or unathletic you are. What are you tethered to spiritually? What is your point of reference? What is your point of origin from where you look at all of these words in this divine text we call the Bible? In order for us to clearly identify and define the word exalt, we have to get the right point of reference. We have to get the right perspective of the word. And so when we exalt, what it means is that we are holding our head up high. Okay, let's just start there. As everybody sits up in their chair and holds their head up high, you hold your head up high, and this makes all the difference. Why? Because we get to boast not because of our suffering, but we boast because of our position in Christ. We boast because we have our head held high. And we boast from the vantage point of Christ. This is what it means to exalt. It refers to living with a God-given confidence. Now think about how much different that sounds than rejoice or boast. It is from a perspective and from an idea of God-given confidence. From our faith, which justifies us, makes us right before a holy and righteous God, we get to do something called exalt. We get to hold our head up high, and we get to be confident in what God is going to show up and do. Remember Paul's words in Galatians 6, 13 and 14? You don't have to turn there. For those who are circumcised so that they may boast in the flesh, but may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul says, I don't want to boast in the flesh, but I will boast in Christ and the crucifixion, because that's exalting. That's the exact same word in the Greek. I'm going to hold my head up high. I'm going to get the right vantage point. I'm going to get the right origin of the situation and say, I'm going to be confident in what God is going to do. And you see, it's easy as we're stringing these thoughts together. The first one in chapter 5, verse 2 is this: through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt what? In hope. The hope of the glory of God. That's an easy one. I'm going to hold my head up high. I'm going to have the right vantage point. I'm going to have the right perspective in the glory of God. That's easy. That's like the Sunday school answer. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When the Sunday school teacher asks a question and they say God or Jesus, works. I'm going to exalt in the glory of God. That one should come naturally for us as believers. And then we start stringing these thoughts together. And not only this, but we also exalt in what? Our tribulations. We exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. Now, the word here in James, as we saw for a trial, was a trial that was about a testing, focusing on the outcome. And we often lump these words together, trial and tribulation, because it just comes off the tongue naturally. The word here is a little bit different, as we saw from last week. The word here for tribulation is for internal pressure. When you think about a tribulation, when you think about something, a storm in your life that comes, usually it is all external. Well, this is going on in my life, leading to this, leading to this, leading to all of this external pressure. Maybe I lost my job. Maybe I am not doing so good with my relationships. Maybe I am not so good in my finances. External pressure. Trial. Maybe some of us think about suffering believers overseas with a little bitty dinky light held over with a grainy video and some guy with a mask on and a gun behind him saying, if you don't denounce Christ, then we're going to take action. Suffering. External pressure. And that does happen. This is internal pressure. And what do I mean by that? Knots in your stomach. Sweaty palms. Indigestion. Internal stress. And you think about how we've all been through this. When the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something for the sake of the kingdom, and we neglect it or refuse it, and all of a sudden we get all of this internal pressure and we can't sleep at night, and we just have to wrestle with things, and we toss and we turn, and we don't know what to do, we can't even put our thoughts together, that's tribulation. And what are we supposed to be doing in all of that? Exalting, holding our head up high, and being confident in what God is going to be able to do through it. We get to exult. We get to boast. Not because we are sweating and not because we are not able to sleep at night, but because we are shifting our focus away from the things that are causing the stress, the internal pressure, to a righteous and holy God, to where we tether and we tie ourselves off and we say, I don't know what's coming, but I'm just going to hang on for the ride. I saw a little picture one time. It said, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. It had a little cat hanging on to a rope. We shift our focus away from what is causing us the internal pressure and heartache
to, we shifted away from that, shifted to a righteous and holy God, and then we sit there, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Remember that word from James? It's the same word. We sit there. We shift the focus away from what is causing us all of the internal pressure. We shift it to a righteous and holy God. And then we take a seat and remain under God. We want to kick and fight and scratch and claw and get out and take it into our own hands because we know best. We are dead wrong. Because we our only job is to exalt. Our only job in tribulation is to exalt, to hold our head up high and be confident in what God is going to do in the middle of the tribulation. Because the tribulation, read verse 3, not only this, we also exalt in tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, where we sit and we remain under, and perseverance produces proven character. Proven character. This is really, really a neat word. Unwavering. The actual term that was used was unswerving. No matter what comes, you are unswerving in your character. Why? Because your anchor, your point of reference, your perspective is all tied to one thing, putting your head up high and being confident in the faith that you have in Christ and what God can do in the middle of your storm. Knowing that we're in the end of verse 3. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Hope. Remember, we hope in the glory of Christ. We exult in the hope of the glory of Christ. Now we bookend this idea with hoping at the end after we've been through all that we're going through. That leads us to hope. And a hope that does not disappoint. Why? Because of the love of God. We had an opportunity to watch and read about God revealing Himself to all humanity through His Son, Jesus Christ. Every time we open this book, this divine word, we have an opportunity to see the hope because of what God did through Christ on the cross. And that is what we hope in. And so as we finish up this morning, I want you to be aware of a couple of things. As we string together all of these thoughts, and this, and that, and this, all leading to a glorious hope that comes by knowing and having faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. It is in that hope that we get to hold our head up high, we get to put our faith and trust in Christ, and we get to sit under and remain under God's glory. You see, tribulations will come. Some of you may be going through them right now. And if you are, when you are, you have one job. One job. Boast. Exalt. Hold your head up high and be confident in your God-given confidence in your Creator. And He will show up. He will show off. And that's what we hope in. Let's pray. Father, thank You for an opportunity to share and study Your Word. Father, as we move into a time where we get to respond. Father, as we confidently approach You, Father, would we have an understanding of some of the things that You are allowing us to go through? And that our tribulation, that internal pressure, Father, is all part of a glorious plan to bring about perseverance, to bring about understanding for us, to bring about character in us, and eventually bring about hope in us. Father, help us not to walk around Jacksboro as defeated believers. Father, we have an opportunity to hold our head up high. No matter what comes, we are unwavering. We are unswerving. We do not buckle. We do not panic. Because at the end of the day, we have God-given confidence that we hope in. Father, if there's a person in this room that's never trusted in what you've done on the cross, that has never called you Lord, Father, I pray that person would have enough strength and boldness to come when that internal pressure comes. Father, I pray for the believer in this room that has walked around for so many months, maybe years, defeated by some problem or trial or storm. Father, today can be the day that we begin exulting in them. We don't boast because we suffer. We boast because you are who you say you are. And we can trust that. Father, in this time of invitation, would we respond accordingly? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.